One of the worst feelings in the world is to wait. Isn't it? How many of you know that waiting is hard? I'm the worst waiter. I don't wait well. Put me in traffic, I don't wait well. If you could see me in traffic, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm praying for my pastor. Pray for my wife. You put me in a grocery store, I don't go. I can't tell you the last time I went to the grocery store. I'm proud of that. But on the rare occasions where I have to go, can I just tell you, I hate waiting. 14 lines available, 3 cashiers. And don't even get me started on them wanting me to check out my own groceries. I don't work for you. But we know it's hard to wait. And you know what's even harder than waiting? Waiting on God. Waiting on God can be hardest of all. I don't know if you've been there or not, but my guess is you have. Some of you have been waiting for a long time. You've been praying for something for a long time. You've been praying and believing for somebody else. Some of you have been praying for a spouse. Some of you have been praying that you could get pregnant. Some of you have been praying for a parent, a child, a wayward child, and you don't see anything happening. Some of you have been waiting on God for so long, you wonder, does he even hear? Is he aware of what's going on? And if he is aware, does he even care? I assure you, he hears. I assure you, he understands. I assure you, he gets us. And today we're starting a brand new series of messages called exactly that, that Jesus gets us. And today we're going to wrestle with the question, God, why so slow? God, why so slow? I'm going to encourage you to go on this journey with us. You can take out your message outlines. We'll be there in a little bit. Just wait. If you've ever wondered, God, why are you taking so long? He understands. He gets us. Jesus himself knows what it's like to wait on God. We're not the only ones that have waited on God. And I don't know if we can completely get our minds all wrapped around this, but imagine, as Jesus was God in the flesh and came to this earth, he had to wait until he was 30 years old to start what he came here to start. That's waiting. Can you imagine? He grew up as a kid like you and I grew up as a kid. He grew up as a teenager like you and I grew up as a teenager. He grew up as a young adult, but he had to wait until 30 before he could begin his public ministry. 30 years he waited. And God kept saying, it's not your time yet. It's not your time yet. It's not your time yet. And Jesus was waiting for his time. He was waiting. In fact, John, one of the disciples in John's gospel, he was pretty obsessed with time. It's really interesting. If you read through John's gospel, you'll find out he used the word time over and over and over and over again. 35 different times in the Gospel of John, he used that word time. 7 different times, he actually quoted Jesus as talking about a specific hour of time. They were waiting for an hour. Jesus actually said it for a few times, my time has not yet come. My hour has not yet come. And then another time, Jesus said, my hour has almost come. And then finally, after waiting all this time, Jesus said, my hour has come. In fact, I'll show you one of these examples in John chapter 2. It's a story of when Jesus went to a wedding where he changed water into wine. By the way, if you're a wine drinker, that's their favorite passage in the whole Bible, that Jesus turned water into wine. And then there's the whole debate. People say, well, that's because the water was so bad. Other people say it wasn't really fermented. Well, that's an argument for another day. But anyway, look at John chapter 2, verse 3. The wine supply at this wedding ran out during the festivities. That was a no-no, by the way. So Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Now, can we pause there just for a second? This is an interesting dialogue between Jesus and his mother. Can we just figure this out? No matter how old you become as a kid, if you still have a mother alive, they're going to be a mother? You'll know that. But it actually sounds like what Jesus' mother made was just a statement. Just a statement. They have no more wine. That's just a statement. But you know what I've learned after 41 years of marriage? My wife will sometimes make a statement, but it's really not a statement. It's a command in the form of a statement. It comes disguised as a statement. That's what Jesus' mother was doing here. She said, hey, they have no more wine. That was not just a statement. That was a command. Hey, Jesus, do something about it. They ran out of wine. Go get some wine. That was not fooling Jesus. My wife will say things to me like, the trash is full. That's just a statement. But we've been married 41 years. I know what that means. Empty the stinking trash. But she won't say it like that. Some statements are commands in disguise. That's what Jesus' mother was doing right here. And look at what he says in verse 4. Dear woman, I love that. That's not our problem. Now watch what he said after that. My time has not yet come. It's not time for me yet. God's not giving me the green light to go ahead. Like, it's not my time. And there's four other times right here in John's gospel where Jesus says, my time has not yet come. And yet Jesus was like us, and it's hard to wait when you know it's coming. Your trip is coming. The party is coming. Whatever it is that you're waiting for and you get anxious, you're tired of waiting. How many more days till we go? But he was waiting. And you and I have a hard time waiting. And we've been praying, some of you, and you're like, I know he can do it, but he hasn't done it. It's really, really hard when you're a person of faith and you believe God can do all things, but he's not doing what you're asking him to do. Why are you so slow, God? Here's a thought for you to consider. What is God doing while I'm waiting? I mean, like, God, what else you got going on? Like, did you hear me? But yet we understand when kids ask us when or what's going to happen, when can I do this or whatever, they don't understand what you and I understand, that sometimes the time just isn't right. But if you're taking notes, fill this in. The good news is that while you're waiting, God is working. While you're waiting, while you're praying, while you're struggling, God is working. He's active even when you don't know it or you don't see it or you don't sense it. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah, if you look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 4, it says, for since the world began, meaning all time, right? No ear has ever heard, nor eye has seen a God like you who works for those who wait for him. While you and I are waiting, he's working. Well, how's he working? Because I just don't see it. What's he doing? Well, let me try to answer it from biblical perspective. Sometimes God's working on it, whatever it is. Sometimes he's working on it because it's not ready yet, whatever it is. You're waiting and he's working on it. God, why are you so slow? God, I'm praying for my husband, but he's still not nice. God, I'm asking you to take my depression away, but I'm still depressed. God, I've been praying for these migraine headaches to go away, and I believe you could take them away, and they're not gone away. Maybe he's working on it because the time is not right. Maybe you're not ready yet. You ever thought about that? Maybe God's doing a work in you so he can do a work through you later, but you're not ready yet. You ever thought about that? Like, I'm ready, I'm ready, I'm ready. You ever had a kid tell you they're ready for something that you know they're not ready for? And you're like, no, I'm the parent, and I know you think you're ready, but I know you're not ready. And if I can figure that out as a parent, how much better can God figure it out for me? I'd rather he figured it out for you, like I want to go, right? God, work that on somebody else. I want what I want. I want it now, and that's the world that we live in, right? We want instant gratification. But if God really knows so much more than us, which he obviously does, because we're the creation, he's the creator, it comes down to faith and trust. It comes down to understanding that even when God feels distant, he's not. That even if he feels uninvolved, he's not. He is involved. While we're waiting, he is working. God, you know what would solve most of my problems? If I just had some more money. God, I've been praying for more money. Why don't you just give me more money? And he's like, you're not that faithful as I've already given you. God, I'd like to have more influence. Maybe he's wanting to do something in you so that when you do have more influence, you got the character to go with the influence. Maybe while I'm waiting, God's wanting me to learn that he's already working on it and to trust him. Fill this in if you're taking notes. Sometimes God does something in you before he does something through you. Sometimes God will do something in you before he can do something through you or even for you. Because he sees the big picture. It's like you as a fallible parent can see things that your kids can't see. And again, how much more can our God see than we can see? And so he's doing something in us sometime before he's going to do something through us or even something for us. That was Saul, right? Remember Saul? If you know anything about Saul, he wrote much of the New Testament, but before he was a Christian, he actually had Christians killed and was a part of killing Christians. Then he has this radical conversion where a bright light, speaking of bright lights, tomorrow we're going to have a bright light. I'd suggest you don't look at it without the proper glasses. But anyway, Saul was blinded by this light on his road to Damascus, and God got his attention, and after Paul was converted, Paul so desperately wanted to preach. He wanted to tell people about the saving gospel and how it changed him, and he was so eager to go tell everybody else the good news of the gospel. But it didn't happen right away. Depending on what commentaries or what history you try to read, there's a debate about how long it might have been before Paul started his ministry of sharing the gospel. Until then, he built tents. He was a tent maker. Some think it was as much as a decade, 10 years of waiting, of building tents, because God was building into him and getting him ready to do what he was going to do later, but Paul wanted to do it now. Paul said, I'm ready to go, and God's saying, slow. I've got to do something in you first to prepare you. So what's God doing while we're waiting? He's working. From the beginning of time, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard about all that God does, how he's working in those who are waiting. Well, we know what God is doing while we're waiting. What are we to do while we're waiting? Do you struggle with what to do when you're waiting? I get angry a lot of times when I'm waiting, depending on where I'm waiting. My wife, if we ever go to the store together, and we get in line, and there's three people open and 14 available. And then I see six other workers standing around and thinking, open one of these lines up. Do you see all of us standing here? And so I'll take a pose like this. And my wife will say, go to the car. She knows what I'm looking for is somebody to notice and say, what's wrong? And I'll say, well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what's wrong. The worst thing I ever did, and I've been forgiven for this, so don't. We were in Toledo. I think we were in Toledo. Maybe it was Meyer here in Adrian. I don't remember. But anyway, it's been years ago, so my picture's been taken down, I'm sure. But listen, it was one of those situations, and there was a bunch of people standing around. Matter of fact, three or four cashiers were talking back where the people were waiting in line, and I'm thinking, I've seen you here. You know how to run a register. And I happened to see how they turned the intercom on their phone. And so I walked over and grabbed the phone and said, all available cashiers to the front, please. And about four of them showed up and opened up. We got out quicker that day. I'm like, hey, this works. My wife was like, oh, my gosh. Anyway. But what are we to do while we're waiting? Can I tell you what my normal tendency is when I'm waiting on God? Is I'll wait for a while. And then my tendency is I want to kind of push back and do something my own way. And can I tell you that if you're tempted to push away from God when things aren't going your way, is to fight that by faith and push into God instead of pushing away from God. We're not to wait passively. I don't think waiting means just to sit with your arms folded and just watch the clock spin. I think you can wait actively and you can say, you know what? I'm going to get involved. I'm going to wait actively. I'm going to press into God. I'm going to fight this inward feeling that wants me to push away and run away and crawl into a hole, and I'm going to push into God. You know what a waiter does in a restaurant? They serve people. You know what you and I, while we're waiting, we should be serving. Let's get involved. We're not going to just be passive and just say, okay, God, I'm waiting. I'm not doing a thing. No, you wait actively and you push into Him. He gets us. He loves us. He understands waiting. And if He's trying to do something in us so He can later do something through us, and we just wait passively, we're just delaying maybe what God wants to do in us. And some of us are just that stubborn, right? You know anybody stubborn? Don't point if they're with you. It's never easy, but let your faith grow in the midst of waiting. And that can happen if you press in. And don't press away. I want to show you something that will build, hopefully, your faith in God's timing. Give you maybe a new perspective. Let me give you a little bit of history from the Bible, if you will. From the beginning of time in creation, from the time of the Garden of Eden all the way through to the birth of Christ, they were waiting on a Messiah. If you read the Old Testament, it was over and over and over this promised one. This Messiah was spoken about, prophesied about for hundreds and hundreds of years. And people kept waiting. When's He coming? When's He coming? When's He coming? And no one knew when He was coming. But He didn't come because the world wasn't ready yet. Why hasn't Jesus come back now? The world is going to hell in a handbasket because He's patiently waiting for people that don't know Him to know Him. But in this period of time, God would speak in the Old Testament through His prophets. And then this time happened, this intertestamental period of 400 years where God didn't talk. He didn't talk to the prophets. There was no communication from God going on to the prophets. And think about this. So for 400 years, no prophet spoke on behalf of God. It was brutal. Because up to this time, right, they had heard about this Messiah. They had prophets sharing things, kind of keeping them on track, keeping them focused. And all of a sudden, there was nothing. Which is where some of you might feel like you're at right now. You're praying, but seemingly nothing is happening. From your perspective, nothing is happening. it feels like God has gone silent. Well, in that 400-year period, he did go silent. And when you have silence or you feel like it's silent from God, that can be the longest of seasons. You open up God's word and you're just hoping for a Bible verse to just jump out. You're hoping, you turn the radio on, that Caleb is going to play some song that's like, oh, it really hits with you. God, just give me something. But it's silence. Fill this in. Just because God feels silent doesn't mean he's absent. Just because he feels silent doesn't mean he's absent. I know it can make you start to think like he is, but listen, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is why it's so important for us to learn what the true character of God is, because otherwise you'll start to give false characteristics to a God that isn't that way at all. So what is he doing? Well, the world was waiting on a Messiah, and look what happens. It wasn't time yet. And Genesis 4:4 tells us, but then, when the right time came, what did God do? When the right time came, he sent his son. When the right time came, he sent his son. It wasn't time yet. Jesus waited 30 years before he could start his ministry. Then he had the 3-year ministry before he really then fulfilled what he came here for, which is to reconcile sinful man back to himself by the death, burial, and resurrection. It wasn't time yet. But there was 3 things that happened in that 400-year period that I'm going to give them to you pretty quick if you're taking notes. The first thing is the Socratic method became a new way of learning. The Socratic method became a new way of learning. Instead of a didactic method, which was a direct teaching of truth, all of a sudden, for the first time in history, people were actually encouraged to ask questions. This was a major point in our history in those 400 years. That's what happened. The second thing that happened is the Old Testament was translated into Greek, which was huge because finally pretty much everybody could have the Word of God in a way they could understand because almost everybody spoke or could read or speak a little bit of Greek. And the third thing that happened in those 400 years was the world-altering is that Alexander the Great conquered the world. Now there's a common language. Everybody speaks a little Greek, and during that time there was something known, as the diaspora, which was where the Jews were forbidden to live in Jerusalem. If you know this history, it's crazy. So they spread out all over the world, and Rome was developing roads and infrastructure and highways in the entire empire. And so there was this big undertaking, and so for that 400 years, they were just waiting. And God was silent, but he was working. And for the very first time, there were 3 things that happened. If you're taking notes, they're on the back side of your note sheets. People were encouraged to ask questions, yes. Everyone had access to the Bible in a language they understood. And the good news could spread. The good news could spread. In a common language through the entire world. All of that happened when God was seemingly silent. Just because he feels silent doesn't mean he's absent. Just because you don't see him working doesn't mean he's not working. God was setting up things and ways for the gospel to spread. And without that silent period of time, you and I wouldn't have heard the gospel today. When the time was right, if you're waiting and waiting and waiting, can I just tell you, God is working. Whether you sense it or not, whether you believe it or not, he's working. And he cares and he gets you. He understands you. He feels for you. But you say, I'm still looking for a job. I still want to know, is my child ever going to come to Jesus? God, are you ever going to do anything in our marriage because it's so painful right now? Am I ever going to be able to own a house, have a car that actually runs? And can I just tell you, God's not just into the big things. He's into the little things. You might think, oh, with all the world's problems, why would God take any time for me? Like, I'm just, listen, I heard that growing up. God's got bigger things. That's not true. Yes, he's got bigger things, but all things, if it matters to you, it matters to him, even a little thing. Like, I've wondered about that at times. Like, I lay awake at night. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep. I'm tired in the living room. I get in bed. I can't go to sleep for 2 or 3 hours. So I'm just laying there like, God, I got to get up tomorrow. I don't know if you know or not, but tomorrow's Sunday. I got to preach. Like, it'd be nice to get some sleep. God, I know you could help me fall asleep. He cares. I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, we've been here before. I guess, okay, well, I guess I got more prayer time. So I'm praying more. I guess that's good. Sometimes I pray for you, I'm not able to sleep. So you got that going for you. So don't worry about me not sleeping. I'm up praying for you. But seriously, you can feel like you're in a holding pattern. Days can seem like weeks. Weeks can seem like months or years. It's hard to wait. Just because he seems silent doesn't mean he's absent. I promise you God loves you. I promise you he's not ignoring you. He's not giving you the silent treatment. He's not mad at you and saying, okay, I'm not speaking. Not that anybody else wouldn't do that in this world to you, but God doesn't work that way. Can I tell you another possibility? Maybe God's never going to do exactly what you're asking him to do. Maybe he's never going to do what you're asking him to do. Because it's not about our preferences. It's about bringing honor and glory to him. Just like you don't always do what your kids would want you to do because you got a better plan. You see things that they don't see. And again, if we can do that as parents that are fallible, how much more can our God do that? Our kids don't want to hear that's never going to happen that way. I don't want to hear that from God. But that's a possibility. We have to remember that he doesn't serve us. We serve him. He's not here just to be a spiritual vending machine to give us all the things that we think we would want. He's got a bigger plan, and he's got better intentions. And he understands. Because even Jesus, remember that when we looked at the cup? He asked his father 3 times if it was possible, could this cup pass before me? If there's any other way, but if not, let your will be done. God, if there's any way, Heavenly Father, that I don't have to go through all this misery, I would prefer that way. But if there is no other way, I will do it. Why? Because it's for your honor and for your glory. I trust you. There's our example. He gets us. He knows what it's like to wait. He knows what pain feels like more than any of us probably will ever know. The hour has not come. The hour has not come. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. But then finally, it's time for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now think about this. His time finally came. And you know what that meant for Jesus? Now I get to suffer more than a human being has ever suffered. That's why he said, look, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? He'd already been there. Jesus said, no, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. God, glorify your name. Because you are the supreme creator of this universe. The supreme creator of this universe loves you. Knows every detail about you, loves me, knows every detail. And he always has our best interest at heart. He's got eternity on his mind. And the good news is, while you and I are waiting, while we wonder sometimes if he's even listening, he's working. He's working. The Bible says he's working in all things. And he's working everything together for good for those of us that love him and are called according to his purpose. Not everything is good. In this world, he says, you will have troubles, but take heart because I've overcome the world. But I'm going to take all this mess and I'm going to make something out of it. I am a master at taking deaths and turning them into resurrections. But it might not happen exactly the way you want on this side of heaven. But trust me, I've got a plan. May not happen exactly the way you want. But it doesn't change the fact that he's good. And his love for you is unconditional. His love for you is what drove Jesus to that cross. And so ultimately, here's kind of where I wrestle to try to choose to stand. What I know about God, even when I want to push away and I'm tired of waiting, is I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to trust in him who is trustworthy, the one who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The one that didn't tell me that he loved me, but he actually came and lived and suffered and died so that I didn't have to. I'm going to trust him. When it doesn't make sense and I can't see it, I'm going to trust him. The name of Jesus is bigger than anything you're wrestling with. It's bigger than any addiction that you have. It's bigger than any marital problem that you have. The name of Jesus is bigger than any financial problem that you have. The name of Jesus is bigger than any amount of depression that you have. The name of Jesus is bigger than any broken relationship that you have. And I believe without a doubt he can. In an instant, he can heal everything that's broken. But it doesn't mean it's going to happen the way I think it ought to happen. I believe without a doubt he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than all we can ever think, dream, or imagine according to his power. But in my waiting, I'm going to fight the urge to push away from him, and I'm going to push into him. And I'm going to choose to trust him. And even if he doesn't do what I believe he can do, I know he can do. Even if it doesn't go the way I believe it should go, I'm still going to trust you. I still believe. I will still worship. I will still praise. And Father, I want to glorify your name. Glorify your name. I'm going to glorify your name. Father, glorify your name through me. Would you bow your heads with me? Oh, God, we just ask right now. I'm sure, God, not only in this room and those that are watching online, but all across this world, there are people crying out to you. There's some that have given up or they're on the verge of giving up. They're wondering if you're there, wondering if you're aware, wonder if you care. God, I pray that today, by looking at who you really are, that all of our faith grows a bit. That, God, we have an understanding that while you're seemingly silent, while we're waiting, you're working. Which means there's hope. Your timing is perfect. And so, God, even though we may be tempted to push away because you're not doing what we want you to do, we're scared. We're going to push into you because you've proven you're a God who can be trusted, a God that's all powerful, a God that's all loving, and a God where all things are possible. We trust you, even when it's hard. Listen, if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, I just pray that you'd kind of take a moment in the quietness of your own heart and just be honest with God where you're at. He can take that. But I hope you get a little encouragement, because I think he brought us here together to give us some encouragement that he's not some distant, far away, uninvolved God. Even when it seems like that's the case, it's not the case. Just thank him for being there. Thank him for dying so that you could live. If he never did another thing for you, eternity is going to be your home because of what he did for you. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I just tell you, today's your day. Today's the day to get reconnected to the God who created you, that loves you, that's not mad at you, but he's mad about you. Today's that day. If you'll provide the sinner, which you clearly are, heaven requires perfection. That leaves all of us out except his son Jesus, who suffered and took the sins of the world, including yours and mine, on himself, shed his blood so your sins could be forgiven, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later on Easter that we just celebrated last week, he defeated death so that whosoever would put their faith and trust in him and him alone, the one way, I am the way, Jesus said, the truth and the life, no one comes to the Father, no one gets to heaven except through me. It's a narrow way, but you can take that way. His name is Jesus. If you'll admit that you're a sinner, turn from your sin, turn to him in faith. That's called repentance. Ask him to come into your heart, to put his spirit in you. He will adopt you into his family, give you the gift of eternal life that can never break down. And you'll have what you need for the rest of your life. Oh, you'll still have problems, but heaven will be your home when you take your last breath. You'll have his power to work through you the rest of your life. If that's you, make this your prayer. Say, God, thanks for today. Thanks for bringing me here today, for speaking to me in a way that I can understand. Oh, God, thank you. Doesn't even seem close to the right words for all that you went through so I wouldn't have to. But right now, Jesus, I turn from my sin and I turn to you in faith. I ask you to come into my heart. Put your spirit in me. Save me. Forgive me. And from this day forward, may I build on this relationship that I now have with you. Not a religion, a relationship. And for the rest of my days, and then for all eternity, I want to glorify your name. We say thanks. Give you all the praise in your name. Amen.